We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. That's what the song says, and it's so true. He is in this world today, right now with us. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ both here. But very soon, He is coming again. I'm telling you, I feel it. I feel it. Very soon, He's coming again. Be ready. Be ready. Praise the Lord. Let us turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 53. We're just going to look at a little bit here in this chapter. Isaiah 53 is a prophecy that was written in about 712 BC. And it was written by the prophet Isaiah. And any Jewish person reading this would know that it was talking about Jesus, because it just exactly goes with the account that we have of Jesus Christ dying for our sins. And so I'm going to read just a part of this. We'll start with verse 2. Speaking of Jesus, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." He looked just like an ordinary Jewish person. Praise the Lord. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." See, speaking of the nation of Israel, how they rejected Christ. "Surely he hath borne our griefs," and that word means anxieties, diseases, and calamities. When he was on that cross, we were on his mind, as one song says. And all of our problems were being borne by the Lord on that cross as he hung there. "He carried our sorrows." Notice it's an individual concern. Whatever we're going through, the Lord is carrying that sorrow. He's carrying that for us. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." The Jewish people thought God struck him and it was right for them to put him to death. They said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Praise the Lord. Notice in verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions," our sins. For our sins, he bore that terrible pain, excruciating pain. He bore that with his blood streaming down from his head, from the crown of thorns, clear down his body, from the whipping. Oh, such horrible, horrible whipping. Down clear to his hands and his feet that were nailed to the cross. The song says, "He was nailed to the cross for me." So it's for our sins that he was. "He was bruised," and we know that. "For our iniquity," our sin, what we have done wrong, and we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If it wasn't for Jesus and for his, what he has done for us, we would not be in heaven. God would not accept us. But Jesus did all this. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." The word chastisement there speaks of judgment. The judgment of God. He was bearing the sin of the world. And when the Lord looked down, God the Father looked down, he saw the ugliness of the sin. And he turned his back. And at that time, the sky became dark and it was a great earthquake. Right at that time, Jesus was hanging on that cross. When God looked at him, he saw the sin of the world, all of the stuff that people can even think of doing, horrible stuff. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." We need to be healed, you know that? Of our spirit, our soul, and our body. And the Lord can do all of those things. Of course, being born again, accepting Jesus as our Savior, causes us to have a new life within us. And then we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the body situation where we ache and we hurt. And we can go to the Lord and ask him to help us. And he's right there giving us that strength. and keeping us going. Praise the name of Jesus. All the problems that we have, he is right there with us. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, the judgment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep are pretty dumb animals. I've been around them a little bit when I was a child. My aunt raised sheep. Her husband raised registered Hereford cattle. But he gave her a place so she could raise her sheep. And those sheep were pretty smart. They had a big old ewe, I guess she was, I'm not sure. But whatever she was the leader of the pack. And you could hear that bell coming in the evening after they had grazed all day. You could hear that bell coming. And she was leading this individual sheep, whatever she was. She was leading the sheep in. And they knew that the sheep were safe because they were in a nice fenced area and on one side of the property. And that sheep would lead them right. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. We sang about it today, and oh, I love that thought. He was the sacrifice of God. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament were just pictures to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he would come and be the sacrifice that would be killed just in a horrible way, not a nice little way, a very, very horrible way, after being beaten to a pulp almost on his back and torn and blood running down and the crown of thorns. What a mean group of people that was to put that crown on his head. They were of the devil, weren't they? The devil was going to make sure that as much could happen to Jesus as possible, suffering. And so he had that crown pulled down on his head as hard. And then they come around and they're going to pierce him and make him die because they didn't want them to be up there all till nightfall on the cross. And they did that to the other two people that were hanging there on the cross. But when they came to Jesus, he had already gone to be with God. And his spirit had already left his body. And oh, isn't it wonderful? He sat there, it is finished. Every bit of the work that was possible had to be done. We could not save ourselves, people. We cannot save ourselves. There is no way we can do enough good stuff that God is going to accept because he's already given his son for our sins, all of our sins, not just before we were saved, but from now on. You mean you don't sin? Nobody here? Is there anybody here that doesn't sin? We're human beings. And human beings don't always do the right things. They don't always walk with God. But he has told us that we can come to him and just ask him to help us in our needs. We're needy people. We can just seek him out anytime and say, Lord, help me. And he's going to be right there. And he just forgives us and lifts us up and holds us in his arms and says, I love you. I love you. Jesus loves us. I'm not going to read all of this today. I'm just going to read a little bit more. Let's start with verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You've seen sheep that have been sheared, hopefully, on something, maybe the TV or something, and they just act so helpless when they're shearing them. They just throw them on their side. That's why Jesus' attitude was about the cross, about the suffering. He didn't try to fight it. He could have just said, shook his finger, and all the guards would have fell dead, and he would have been gone off the scene. But there was a plan, a big plan that God had from way back in olden times, before the foundation of the world, the scripture says. That plan was going to be done. It was going to be done exactly right, and Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, that's about as far as I'm going to read right here. Let's read verse 9. He made his grave with the rich, with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. And we know that that happened It was a man. I had it written down here later in my notes, but we'll talk about it again. But a man named Joseph of Arimathea, who was one of the council of Israel, a well-known, experienced man in the law. And there was something about Jesus that just got his heart. And he gave his brand new tomb. Isn't that neat that Jesus didn't have to be buried in some old hole or you know, something? He had done his job. He had paid the price. And the Father made sure he had a wonderful place to lay there, because he wasn't going to lay there very long. He was going to lay there 3 days and three nights, and he's going to be out of there, wasn't he? Praise the Lord. So Joseph of Arimathea, a volunteer, just came and said, put him in my brand new burial place. And Joseph could use it later. You suppose he had that faith and believed when Jesus said he would rise again the third day? That was all in the plan. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Apostle Paul, in talking to these Corinthian people, when we read and study Corinthians, we kind of look at them and think, boy, they had a lot of those things wrong. They're always doing something, and he corrects them. It takes a long, lot of chapters here, 16 chapters in 1 Corinthians, and all another book later, trying to get them to go the right way. They were believers, but they were carnal believers, weren't they? So as you have turned there to the very first part of the chapter of 15, I'm going to preach the whole chapter. I want you to know that, okay? I'm kidding you, of course. It's so wonderful to know this word of God that Jesus Christ is not dead. He's not dead. He hears every single prayer that we say, even in, reads our minds. He hears everything, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. And while we're here just in the 15th chapter now, I'm going to talk about Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a wonderful chapter of our dear brother David from the Old Testament. And it's just remarkable. We've had that hasn't been very long ago. I taught on that chapter. But if you would read that this week and think about what he's saying, I mean, he was prophesying things that would happen to Jesus, just like they'll cast lots for my clothing. It's just numerous things. It tells of his suffering and of the mockings that he endured, and his garments being parted among the soldiers and them casting the lots, and many other things there that were prophecies. Isn't that amazing? Why would God do that? Why would he put that back there in the Old Testament? Well, God has a plan. His plan is always the things of the Old Testament were fulfilled by the Messiah. And some people are so ignorant, I can't call them ignorant, because they say that Jesus just read about all those things and he enacted all of those things. How can a man that's been beaten to death practically and has had to carry the cross then think enough to, okay, now I'm going to do so-and-so so everybody thinks I'm the Messiah? Isn't that a stupid thought? It's a stupid thought. And because they believe those kind of things, they're not born again. But let's begin reading now in the 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and herein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. See, every process, everything that Jesus did was according to the Scripture. It was fulfilling the prophecy, and that's what Paul is saying. And going to verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how close it had to be, that they would know, anyone who knew the Old Testament Scriptures could say, this is like what so-and-so prophesied. Okay, So, Jesus told, I looked this up, and because I knew he had told them before he went to the cross that he was going to be, he would be killed. And one of the things he said was that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. And in the book of Matthew, that's recorded three times, three separate times. And it's recorded in other gospels also. But in Matthew, it's recorded three times that he told them on the third day he would rise again. And yet, what did his disciples do? John was the only one there at the cross. The others ran and hid. They were so scared. Peter denies the Lord and lies about his being with Christ, doesn't he? You know, isn't it wonderful, the forgiveness that the Lord Jesus does? Because all of us have done things that were not right, you know, different things. And the Lord is so gracious to forgive us of those trespasses. Praise the Lord. So he rose on the third day. And then in going on, let's read. We're going to read verse 4. Okay, He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Who's Cephas? Do you know it's Peter? It is. This was a name for Peter, and of course, it seemed like what he did was really a bad thing, wasn't it? And his denial of the Lord three times when they asked him, he didn't stand up and say, oh yes, I'm a follower of Christ. He says, no. So, but you know what the word Cephas means? What evidently he's being called at this time? The rock. So who makes our life steadfast as a rock? The Lord. He comes into our life. And he forgives us. He forgave Peter of doing that. And you know, Peter runs off. He doesn't come to the cross. He didn't go to the grave site until one of the Marys went and called to him and says, he's risen, he's risen. So Peter and John go to make sure that she isn't just seeing some kind of mirage or something, you know, not really seeing anything. Isn't that amazing when we think of that? Glory to God. Verse 5, we want to read, and he was seen of Cephas, yes. All right, going on a little bit more, verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present. At Paul's time here, in 59 AD, there were many of those people that saw Jesus after he was raised, and some are fallen asleep. And he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. This James mentioned here is Jesus' brother. And you know that brother would not accept Jesus as being anything. He made fun of Jesus right at first, but he became a believer. The resurrection brought him in, and he wrote the book of James. Isn't that amazing? He became the preacher at Jerusalem, the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Amazing what God can do. Praise the Lord. And then verse 8, at last of all he was seen of me, Paul says, also as one born out of due time. I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meet or fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I have labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So Paul saw Christ there on the road to Damascus. And wasn't that a gracious thing for the Lord to do? Just shine on him, and because he was going to go kill Christians in Damascus. That was his goal. And yet the Lord just knocks him down and talks to him and all of those things that he did there. Read that 9th chapter of Acts. It's a beautiful chapter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now we're going to go to verse 12. It says, And he's talking about the resurrection in this chapter, and he's trying to give proof of the resurrection so that they will understand. He says, now is if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? In this church of Corinth, there were people that were trying to teach others, oh, there's no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. Do all of us here understand that that is not true? That because we are born again, we are going to be raised. If we die, we pass off of this scene and are buried in the ground, we are going to be raised. Our brother Rick is going to be raised. Hallelujah. Amen. And our sister Becky is going to be raised. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to see those dear ones again. Praise the Lord. That's beautiful. And he says, now if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Why would he be risen if there is no resurrection that's guaranteed for us? And he says, if Christ be not raised, then is our preaching vain. Preach a dead Christ? What benefit is that? See? So he's trying to get these Corinthians to believe that the Son of God rose from the dead. Yes. And then in verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Just as sure as Christ raised from the grave, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. They are going to come out, no matter how long they've been. Think of it. Over 2,000 years ago, Christ died. He was buried in that grave. Over 2,000 years ago. Those beloved saints all down through this age that have died, all of them God is cognizant of. He is aware of exactly where they are. Even if they got swallowed by a shark, they're going to come out and be made into a new body in the glory. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what we have because Christ arose. Isn't that a beautiful thing? If he didn't rise, then we're not going to rise. But he rose with power, and he made it so that every one of us will be raised one of these days into the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. How wonderful that is. And he says in verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If the rest of the people, those believers in Christ, are not going to be raised, then Christ didn't make it either. Isn't that amazing to say that? If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. The basis of our salvation is that Christ rose from the dead and is now at the right hand of God interceding for us. And if that is not true, that he did not raise, then we are just not going to raise either. There's no power of any kind that can raise us from the dead except that power of God. Praise the Lord. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are just perished. And you know what that word means? In the Greek, it means to destroy fully. Praise the Lord. Our bodies may decay away and not even be there one of these days. But when the Lord sends that call, oh, wow, we're going to have a new body and we're going to fly away instantly to be with the Lord. I believe that so greatly. I believe it. And I hope everyone here believes that and believe that Jesus Christ is coming very soon. The signs of the time are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air, the song says. There's a different feeling. And then what he says there in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And you look out there in the world, if those that don't believe in the resurrection, they don't believe in Christ, that he died, they don't believe that he was the Son of God, they don't believe that we're going anywhere. You might have seen this person that brought up a paragraph, it was on the news yesterday, that was say that we all had to get God out of everything, some biggie wig. Well, one of these days, he's probably going to be in hell. If he doesn't come to the point where he receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he may end up there. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. And we have this scripture so much, but this time of year, this special season that we worship about Christ coming and the dead in Christ rising, it just seemed like appropriate again to read this again. This is the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. In verse 13, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Is there anybody here ignorant? It means to be unlearned and uninformed. And I think we've talked about this enough that everybody here ought to be very informed. That if you're a believer in Christ, you're going to be raised from the dead one of these days if you pass to be with the Lord. And of course, he says that you, why does he say this? That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Don't let yourself get into that point that you don't have hope. Hope is so important in the Word of God. Faith and hope in what the Lord says. The Word of God that's so real. We're going to be raised. Praise the Lord. One of these days, our loved ones are going to be raised. Verse 14. For if we believe. Now that's the big if. Do you believe? Or are you that don't believe? See? If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They're up there. Those that are born again are up there in heaven rejoicing and having a great time. Why would we call them back? You know? We envy them. He says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not, the word is actually precede them which are asleep. He's talking about those believers who pass on, who go to be with the Lord before the coming of Jesus. We will not precede them. In fact, he goes ahead to say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. That means the highest messenger in heaven. God is not going to leave it to Gabriel or somebody else. You know, somebody will say, well, Gabriel's going to blow his horn. No, in fact, the one who's going to say, come up here, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that's going to say that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. With a shout. In the original, it means a command. He's the ruler of the universe. He is the person who created all things, Colossians 1 says. He can say, come up here, and it's going to happen. There's power in that call. Praise the Lord. And it says there, he should give a shout with the voice of the highest messenger and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Is that fair? Yes. We're not carnal. We aren't carnal and think, well, why let them do it? Well, they've been there a long time waiting. We have been down here waiting, but they're going to be given that privilege to rise from the graves and have new bodies and come up. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I love words, and this word means to seize hold, to seize hold. So how is it we're going to go? We're not going to have little motors or little backpacks that will fire up and will go away. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to come and just, he's just going to seize hold of us and we're going to go away. And another place it says, in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. That's quicker than a bat of the eye. Yes. So, praise the Lord. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm never coming back, folks. I'm never coming back. And neither are you. If you are ready for that coming, you're going to go away, and later he'll take other people that are believers. But praise the Lord, you're never going to come back here to this earth. This earth will last for a while, and then it's going to be totally renovated, according to the scripture. Praise the Lord. God has his hand on everything. And then what does he say? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another.
Yes.
Everyone that we see that is sad and needs help, remember, the Lord is coming. He is going to resurrect your loved ones. My whole family is gone, you know, my brothers and sisters. I don't have any anymore. And I know what they believed, and I know that they're going to be raised, as well as my little child that died, as well as my husband. God is going to raise them from the dead and have new bodies one of these days. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't mean to run on so long, but anyway, I'm just going to quote these scriptures to you. 1 Corinthians 6:14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will raise up us by his own power. He's raised up the Lord. That same God is going to raise us up by his power. 2 Corinthians 4:13 and 14. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Okay? He raised up the Lord Jesus. Jesus is going to come back, call us, and we're going to go up. Just exactly what he said there in that scripture. Praise the Lord. I think I'm going to stop there. I had one more scripture, but I think it's important that all of us just realize more and more the coming of Jesus and how soon he's going to be here. And all of our activities, you know, we have children, we have to do the things we have to do and raise them, and we don't know the day nor the hour, so we want to just be active in what God wants us to be doing. But one of these days soon, he's going to come, because the signs of the time are everywhere, as the song says. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.